This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
My name is Elliot from Checkpoint Gaming, and today we're here joined by Phil Robb, the co-founder and creative director at Turtle Rock Studios. First of all, Phil, thank you so much for joining us. Are you able to tell our audience a bit about who you are and what your role is at Turtle Rock?
So, yeah, my name's Phil Robb. I have been in the games industry for, well, since 1994, so quite a while. For the last, decade or so, I have been running or, co-founder or co-running Turtle Rock Studios. My role at the studio is creative director, right? So I sort of oversee, a lot of the, the visuals, the narrative, the story, all that kind of stuff.
Fantastic. And obviously, we're here to primarily talk about Back for Blood, which is the most recent release, well, the upcoming release from your development studio. So for our listeners who may have never even heard of this game, potentially, hopefully they have, but what's the elevator pitch? How do you explain this game to people who haven't heard about it yet?
It's pretty simple. Get together with, three of your friends, and the four of you can jump into this world and slay zombies till your heart's content, get covered in blood and gore, shoot guns and blow shit up and have a great time. That's why I like it.
It's a good pitch. And, we did get an opportunity to check out Back for Blood prior to this interview. And I will say, all of our characters were dripping in blood, like so much so that I couldn't have possibly expected it. I don't know how they moved with all that extra weight of innards and goo and blood on them, but it was awesome to see that kind of visceral art style, obviously kind of pulsating through.
We call that the drench system.
Oh, yeah. Is that a real internal name?
Mm-hmm.
I do love that. But obviously, Back for Blood, there is this history. Turtle Rock developed Left 4 Dead. There's obviously that connection between these games. So I do wonder, did you go into this, even at a base concept stage, did you say, well, this is how we're going to differentiate ourselves, or this is the core concept behind this game?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely went into it knowing that we kind of wanted to take the genre and try some new stuff with it. Push it in areas, change some things and stuff like that. I mean, and anyone who is a fan of Left 4 Dead, and has played it will feel, they'll see the sort of shared DNA between the two games. We've sort of taken that and really added a lot of, new and, hopefully, awesome stuff that people should enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely feels like, from my end, it feels like a very modern shooter, right? Like, it is a very modern, really polished take on this style of game. And there is no doubt in my mind we need more games within this particular niche. And so to see Back 4 Blood handle it so excellently, it is really awesome and it makes it super exciting. How does it feel to, have your game start getting into the hands of players? I know we're very early here, but even just beta testers or media or whoever, like, how does that feel?
It's half nervousness and trepidation, hoping that everyone loves it, but it's also half just excitement, right? Because it's a project that we've been working on for quite a while now. Particularly, for the beta, it's great, to get it out there and give folks a chance to sort of kick the tires and, and for us to see, like what people respond to, and in what ways and, obviously, find and iron out any problems before, final release. That's obviously always, you know, that's the primary reason you do a beta, but also, you know, just getting all that data, right? Trying to see, you know, validating the choices that we've made. You know, there are some things that we did that we weren't sure about, right? And, you know, getting them into players' hands and seeing them enjoy it is always sort of a great morale boost for the team, right? To see, oh, okay, you know, those turned out to be good choices. Hooray us, you know.
I'm just wondering, do you have any specific examples? And were there any kind of systems that you weren't so sure about that you're now happy were implemented?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, obviously the card system was a bit is sort of a big new feature. I mean, we felt pretty strongly that it would work, right? But you know, there's always that little inkling, especially, you know, when you get on social media and you see folks saying, "Ah, we don't want the cards. We don't want the cards," right? And you're like, "Okay, you know, just wait and give it a chance." And you know, and we've been happy to see that, you know, when people get a hold of the game and start digging into the cards and seeing what that whole system is about, you know, they tend to be converts and agree that it is definitely you know, a welcome and cool addition to the game. You know, we did a pretty big departure on, you know, our style of PvP. You know, and you know, certainly that was, you know, we wanted to try something different. We felt like, you know, there are ways that we could improve, you know, the asymmetrical zombie PvP thing. You know, but there's always that little bit of unsurety, you know, are people gonna like it or are they not? And so far people seem to be responding to it very well. So that's also great to see.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, I'd love to expand there if we can, because you know, obviously the game offers both PvP and PvE. And you know, the PvP style, as you said, it is a departure from what Left 4 Dead has done before. It's less of that kind of campaign style and more of a wave-based kind of you're in a set zone and a set area. What did inspire that? What did you see as the areas that could be improved upon in that PvP system?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if you were to talk to like Chris or Brandon, right, they would have like slightly different answers. But I mean, from my perspective, I think a big one was, you know, the multiplayer campaign or PvP campaign requires a huge commitment of time, right? I mean, we're talking like at least an hour, right, to finish one. And I think, you know, going into it, we wanted something that was a little more, you know, bite-sized, so to speak, you know, that players can digest. I mean, certainly, you know, in a long sort of PvP experience, right? You have that tendency where, you know, a player, things will go bad for one side early on. And, you know, and when you're looking at the potential for, you know, an hour long, you know, a lot of people would just bail. You know, it's like, well, you know, we screwed up, you know, early on, and you know, there's no way we're going to sit through an hour of, you know, of punishment. You know, with shorter digestible matches, right? I think there's less of an incentive to bail. You know, you know, the time commitment is shorter, so you can get in and play more often, right? You know, like, hey, I have a half an hour before whatever it is I have to do. I can get in and play a couple matches. So I think, at least, you know, from my perspective, a big one is just sort of that time commitment. You know, it's fast, it's frenetic, you know, and it can be very brutal. And I think those kinds of experiences tend to be better in small chunks, right? I mean, I think that when you're thrust into a game that is like basically turned up to 11 for long periods of time, it can be kind of exhausting. You know, so there's that aspect of it as well. You know, and then there's just, you know, us wanting to try something new. You know, we felt like this was a good chance to do that. Separate, you know, help separate the game, you know, from its, you know, from our previous games. And so far it's worked out really well.
Yeah, fantastic. Good to hear. And I do also want to circle back a little bit to the card system you mentioned, because some of the big things I got out of playing this game in its preview stage was that yes, it is similar to Left 4 Dead, obviously, but there is so many more customization elements, whether it's the card system or whether it's you know picking up attachments for your weapons or whether it's just you know going into the copper gold shop and purchasing new stuff for your crew, like passives that benefit everybody, for instance. Do you want to talk us through a bit more about those systems specifically and why you were looking to implement them?
Yeah. So, you know, typically, you know, like, so you take a standard game in the co-op space, you know, the co-op aspect of it is, you know, okay, well, let's all shoot in the same direction, one. Two, if I go down, you'll pick me up, right? And three, if something grabs you, I'll try to save you, right? Which I think is a great foundation, right? But I think we felt like there was a lot more we could do to sort of encourage players to cooperate and coordinate. Certainly the card system is one of those things, right? Because we've got cards in there that, you know, will benefit the entire team. And, you know, it's also like, you know, once you get into it, you'll see that you can do builds, right? Like themed builds, right? You know, whether it's, you know, I like being a sniper guy, right? And I want excellent accuracy, right? So you can build for that. You know, I like being the support class, you know, for lack of a better word. So I'm going to do, you know, a healing build. You know, I tend to do a melee build, right? Holly is my favorite character. She is, you know, a melee, her perks are melee based. So I tend to, you know, do my deck of cards based around, you know, taking advantage of her perks. And, you know, and I think that just gives players a lot more agency and control over, you know, how they play the game and how they, you know, tackle the problems that we present them with. You know, so that's one aspect of it, right? You know, and players that, you know, build, you know, take these, you know, coordinate and sort of choose their roles, right? And don't duplicate roles and stuff like that, I think will do really well in the game. The weapons are the same kind of thing, right? You know, I mean, it is a game about shooting zombies, right? And guns are a big part of it. So, you know, we want to have, you know, as many of those as we can pack into the game. And the nice thing about that is, yeah, okay, so, you know, there are a limited number of classes of weapon, but within each class, there are several sort of variants, that, you know, again, allow you to sort of, you know, tailor it to your gameplay style. Like I like building, building my character out for a sniper rifle, but I only do the M1, right? I like the semi-auto sniper rifle. Right? The bolt action is a little too slow for me, and I'm not that good of a sniper, you know, at least in the game. So, you know, I go for the M1. It's nice because people don't typically go for sniper rifle, so have my pick of the ammo, right?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of folks like doing, you know, the assault rifle class.
Yes.
You know, and there's always a shortage of ammo. It's always like, hey, you guys got sniper ammo? Oh yeah, we've got tons. Blah, blah, and they just pile it down onto the ground. And
is that just a way of trying to encourage players to diversify their weapon roster within their team to limit those ammo resources?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's about, you know, trying to get, it's a co-op game, so let's try to come up with as many mechanics that encourage cooperation as possible. So, for example, if you're an SM, you know, if you're a submachine gun player, submachine guns share ammunition type with pistols, and they chew through ammo at an alarming rate. So, you know, if you got three or four players that are all going SMG, you guys are going to be hurting for ammo real quick, right? So there is, you know, there's a coolness and a satisfaction, you know, in sort of working with your teammates to you know, figure out, you know, okay, which role am I going to take? You know, and so, you know, one guy takes shotgun, one guy takes SMG, one guy takes sniper, right? And suddenly, you know, you've almost chosen roles within the team, which, you know, even as far back as Left 4 Dead, right? Choosing a role, at least I think the best players, it would sort of take roles, right? I'll be point, right? I'll be rear guard, right? Et cetera, et cetera. And so we wanted to kind of codify that a little bit more in Back 4 Blood, where, you know, not only can you sort of naturally take these roles, but we want to augment it with actual game mechanics.
No, totally. Fair enough. That sounds amazing. So I do wonder, where does Back 4 Blood stack up against Turtle Rock's previous releases? Are you viewing this as kind of your biggest release yet?
I mean, it's a big deal, right? We're super excited to be back in the space, and we've been working on it for a while, so we're excited. We want this IP to be successful. We want to keep working on it for a long time to come. It's a big deal. But are there other games that we'd like to build at some point? Hell yeah, we've got like a million ideas, and we always like to be keeping things fresh and trying new things. So don't be surprised if someday in the future you see another new IP out of us. But for right now, Back for Blood is our focus. We're super excited about it, and we're looking forward to sort of it having a long and prosperous run in the community.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm wondering, because of Left 4 Dead obviously has this massive legacy, there is still this player base who adores this game and swarms to it and its sequel, of course. Is that daunting? Like, is it scary to release something within this specific genre? Are you worried about how people react to this and comparing it directly to that other game?
Right. I mean, there's pressure involved for sure, right? I mean, it's, there are high expectations. Look, Left 4 Dead's a great game, right? I still play it. I still love it, right? I mean, don't ask me to choose between my children, right? We've tried to do something very different with this, and you're right. It's inevitable. People will compare them, and it does add a bit of pressure, right? We want the product to stack up, right? And perform well. But at the end of the day, I'm not scared about it, right? I mean, if we were prone to fear-based decision making, right? We wouldn't have started a studio in the gaming industry. You know what I mean?
Of course. So
we're always looking for a challenge, and we tackle those challenges eagerly and enthusiastically and head on. So, we're not trying to replace Left 4 Dead by any stretch of the imagination. We're trying to bring a new zombie co-op experience into the gaming world, and have it stand on its own, and hopefully people will enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Phil, thank you. So Back 4 Blood, it's releasing October 12th, 2021 to PC, PS4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X and S. If our listeners want to follow this game, keep up to date with all of the latest information at Turtle Rock Studios, where should they go?
You can go to www.turtlerockstudios.com. We've got a lot of information there. We've got our Twitter feed, our Instagram. I mean, we're on all the socials. It's pretty easy to find. Just do a search and, a Google search and you'll see stuff.
Perfect. Phil Robb, co-founder and creative director at Turtle Rock Studios, telling us all about Back 4 Blood. Phil, thank you so much for joining us.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.